It's Friday, June 17th. You're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Visit techpodcast.com. Welcome to the show, everyone. We got a great one lined up for you tonight. Hold on your hats. Here we come.
You're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you almost live from Honolulu, Hawaii.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. I am Todd, the host, and I hope everyone has had a wonderful week. I know that I have here, the weather has been just unbelievably beautiful. It's just, you know, there's one thing about living in Hawaii. You know, a lot of people say, well, it's the same year-round. And it is and it isn't, but, you know, it is paradise, and I guess that's why the prices are as high as it is. We pay paradise tax, but hey, I hope everyone has had a great week, and looking forward to the weekend. Hey, Father's Day, Sunday, so I hope all of you've got plans to take some time out with your family. I know that I am. I tell you, the life has just been busy, busy, busy here, and sometimes you just got to stop and take a break, and I'm definitely going to be doing that this weekend. But hey, I want to thank all of you first of all for being here on with me on the show, and thank you for listening and for tuning in week after week, show after show. I really do appreciate it, and I tell you, I get a lot of email from you guys, and sometimes I can't answer all of it, but I do appreciate all the great comments that you send in, and it really makes my day when I do get an email said, hey, thanks for that. That was something cool that we found at because of your show. So I do want to thank you for all the great comments. For those of you that are tuning in for the very first time, welcome to our family. And make sure that you check out the main website at geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the content on there, including the older podcast and the podcast link. So how is everybody? I tell you, this week has been very interesting in that I've had some interviews, and you guys are going to be kind of shocked. I was on Yeast Radio with Madge Weinstein. I was a little bit nervous being on with Madge because I don't know if you all have listened to Madge's show, but we talked tech, and it was cool. And I think we were about 45 minutes on just talking, you know, geeky stuff. So I had a good time. Had a good time over there, and then I was on a private show. This is not a show that is available for free, but I was on Sam Whitmore's show with a media survey, and that was a great show. I had fun. We had a question and answer. Some people from the audience, and I actually found some cool tool out for doing live events, so I was pretty happy. Heck, you know, just finding that tool out from Sam was cool, but being on a show was great, and I've gotten some good feedback from that, and I do want to appreciate the folks that helped get that set up. Hey, I think I had mentioned that I'd had some laptop issues, and I tell you what, it was just continuing to drive me nuts, and I wasn't having much success in dealing with my continuous running hard drive. So, you know, I had talked about, went through and did a check disk, and basically found some stuff, but that wasn't all. Make a long story short, you know, it would be still when it was, you know, wouldn't be hammering away when I wasn't running applications. But as soon as I started loading applications up, it just started hammering. I mean, it was, the hard drive was running continuously, and I got to thinking, there's got to be something interacting with these programs that's causing this. So I started to shut down programs one by one on the toolbar, and lo and behold, my Spy Sweeper software had a corrupted database. So every time a program started up and it interacted and it was hammering away trying to read the database, oh, it was ugly, but it's sitting here. The hard drive's not... I'm surprised the hard drive didn't self-destruct as hard it was as it was running there for a while. Hey, I talked to my publisher earlier this week, and he says the book sales are doing great, and I've got some books here, finally, and what I'm going to be doing is they are going to be going in the mail tomorrow. So I apologize for those of you that have waited for a book, that have won a book, but I'm going to ship everything out tomorrow. I've got some more coming next week, so, but I should be able to fill all of the awards for all the books, so I thank you for being patient with that, and we'll get those out. Let's see here. I got some email. I tell you what, we have some true geeks that listen to this show, and I'm absolutely humbled. Some of you are doing some amazing work, and we've got a couple of spacecraft builders that listen to the show, and I tell you, I would like to have some of you guys on. So what I want to do at some point is, if you work in the tech field and you do something really interesting, like building spacecraft, I think we ought to have you on the show and do a segment, you know, do some listener interviews on, you know, what you do in the tech world. Because I tell you, a lot of you are obviously much smarter than I am. So I would be more than obliged to have you on, and you can fill our brains with all kinds of good stuff. And I tell you, it's really humbling to, you know, basically be in your presence for, you know, thank you for listening. I really do appreciate that. Hey, I talked about the BBS documentary earlier, in a couple shows ago, and I just want to tell you, I finished watching it, and Jason Scott, the producer of that, who traveled all over the United States, got all kinds of interviews. For any of you that were old school BBS users, when you were on the dial-up days before the internet, you had to get out, you know, take your modem and dial long distance and pay extraordinary long distance fees to call boards, you know, throughout the country and all over the world. You guys will need to go over and just order this 3-DVD set. I tell you, it deserves to be on PBS or some sort of, you know, we need a medium for him to get this out to more people, because I'll be honest with you, the BBS industry drove what, you know, a lot of the technology that you're using today. Okay, the promotion. Hey, a lot of you, a lot of men have sent in entries for the 75th show, and you guys, wow, you guys have gotten creative, and there is, it's going to be very, very difficult, and I'll be very honest with you. There's like 25 of you that have submitted podcast ideas that you want to do a show, but you're still sitting on the edge. If there are 25 of you that have not started a show yet, I didn't think I didn't realize that there was going to be that many of our listeners that had not yet decided to do a show, but maybe been kind of waiting for a little push. Well, we've got plenty of entries for the men, but ladies, come on now. I need some more entries, okay? We're really hurting on the entries for the ladies. So get them out there to us, and we'd appreciate that. I do want to go over some listener email real quick. Hey, Martin from the UK, I'll put your link up on this TiVo that you got. But what I thought was interesting, that this TiVo that Martin just got has got three tuners in it. You know, most of the TiVos only have two, but this one has three. That is definitely cool. All right, 160 gig hard drive, and all kinds, you know, you can record two channels and watch a third. That's multitasking. Also, let's see here. A bunch of people sent me information about the barcode readers, and I want to tell you that I want to thank Russ for the link for the Nextel barcode reader. I'll put that up on the show notes. I got a message from Kevin that talks about a new podcast catcher for it's called Smart Feed. It's a mobile podcatcher. It's for the smartphone and the pocket PC. So we'll put a link up to Kevin's new software release. And along with that 75 entries, I tell you what, a lot of you have got some cool domain names that you've been thinking about. So that ties right into this week, okay? This week, being part of the internet means more than just surfing sites or downloading music. The perfect way to start is with your own .com name. And my friends at GoDaddy.com make it fast, fun, and affordable. Okay, check this out, folks. Right now, You all can get .com names for just $7.95 at GoDaddy. No limit. So $7.95, all you can eat. All you have to do is enter Geek News. That's the code. That's the promo code when you're checking out. GEEKNEWS as your source code to get that price. For .coms, it's GoDaddy.com. Thanks for GoDaddy for being our sponsor. We really do appreciate that. Okay, let's see here. What else? I got one last. We got one more email from a listener. He's basically saying, okay, what was it? I missed it. Oh, there's another service which you can just Google. You can send Google a text message, and with the barcode number, and it'll actually send you a message back. So I'll explain the instructions on how to do this in the show notes. But basically, you dial 46645 with the barcode. You have to preface that with some info. But I'll put the link up to the Google site that talks about how to use that. I've got a lot of content tonight to go over, so we're going to kick right off into that. I'm looking at my show notes here. All right, I think we've got everyone covered. Okay, on Farza 75th show. We'll make the announcement on the winner for, next Tuesday, or the winners, I should say, for the hosting. And those of you that are checking it out for the first time, what you're going to get is you're going to get a year of hosting. You're going to get a domain. You're going to get some consulting by me. You're going to get your weblog all set up. You're basically going to be podcast ready. All you're going to have to do is record and upload. And we're going to be hosting that on our server. So that's all being taken care of by me personally, and I think we look forward into helping a couple of podcasters out, and of course, you're going to get promoed here on the show. Now, I do want to remind everyone, Podcast Expo is not that far away. Even though we're just in June, Podcast Expo is going to be going down in November, and I want you all to be there. So I want to play, remind you on this demo. Here's the promo for a Podcast Expo.
Attention podcasters and portable audio and video enthusiasts. The Podcast and Portable Media Expo is November 11th and 12th, 2005, in Southern California at the Ontario Convention Center. Walk the exhibit hall and demo the latest hardware and software tools for creating podcasts. Hear from audio engineers about how they record and edit their own audio files, and attend classes on how to promote your podcast and attract paying sponsors. Register today at www.podcastexpo.com.
And at Podcast Expo, we are going to be giving the awards out for what's happening with right now. The podcastawards.com site is up and running. So if you haven't went over there yet and nominated your favorite podcast, don't nominate me because I'm ineligible, folks. But get over there and go through those categories and nominate the people that you want to have a chance at picking up a category win for basically the 2005 People's Choice Podcast Awards. We're starting to pick up some sponsors and some cool prizes. It's starting to really shape up good. The traffic, oh my goodness, the traffic was unbelievable. I think we did about 200,000 impressions yesterday on the website. Today it dropped down to about 175. We were planning on about 100K a day, and real happy with that. And of course, we're getting plenty of nominations. I think there was close to 800 the last time I checked. So people are going in and nominating. Have had a few violators, and we caught some violators already, and we have put them on the kill-all list. We are not going to put up with those type of shenanigans, and this is going to be a fair contest. So any podcasters out there listening, keep your listeners reeled in. And don't let them go out and do crazy things like writing and stuff. I think my wife is running the vacuum. Do you guys hear that? Okay, so next, I've got some good, great content for you tonight. Let's get into that. I know a lot of you out there are web designers, and I keep my eye out for interesting articles about web design and a lot of the philosophy that people, developers put behind a lot of the stuff that they, put up on the internet. And I found a pretty cool little article. It's got a lot of abstract stuff, but For those of you that are web designers, it's from the Digital Web Magazine. And I'll put the link up to that. And I hope those of you that do this kind of stuff for a living or for fun will get some good information out of that. I did read an article. It's on discovery.com. And actually, I found it over on Boing Boing talking about, it depends on what you buy into about evolution. If you're, they're talking about how the brain has developed over time in humans. And I guess to boil down to it, there was one thing I thought that was quite interesting, that the human brain, people are capable, they're saying, of juggling like four different tasks at once. That's about the maximum most people can do. And I know in my regular job, I do that a lot, do a lot of multitasking and some of the things I've had to do in the past where I've had to manage four or five things at once. So I think this is a pretty good little science article. And for those of you that are interested in the evolution of humans and how the brain developed and all that kinds of stuff, pretty good little article over on discovery.com. Now, most of you may have heard that blogs, BLO.GS, it's basically, that's the actual domain, was bought by Yahoo. For a long time, for those of you that are web bloggers, you may have noticed when you wrote an article on your website and did the submit for the article to be published, that the blog site would report an error. Well, I've noticed since Yahoo has taken it over and obviously threw some serious servers at it, that it's now responding very well and tracking blogs much better. So I think, I guess I'm have mixed feelings on Yahoo having this site. But, basically, what for those of you that aren't familiar with blogs, is what it is it's a service that when I write an article on the website and I hit transmit, my site will go out and ping Technorati, PubSub, it will ping blogs, and a half dozen other sites to say, hey, I have updated my content. Go ahead and collect the metadata from that and update your index. So we'll see what happens with the blogs. If Yahoo goes and throws some money into it and improves it, it's hard to tell, but they've definitely got their foot in the door on one of the premier websites for web bloggers. Now, I love people that have a lot of ingenuity. My grandfather, bless his heart, who is 97 years old, he is one of these type of gentlemen that he can make something out of nothing. He can take stuff that's laying in a garbage pile and put together the most amazing stuff. And, usable, very, very usable stuff. And he always taught me as I was growing up to, keep your eye open for stuff that people may have threw away. But I just am absolutely blown away by some individuals who have made a homebrew air conditioning system. Now, I linked this on the website earlier in the week. And all I'm going to do, I'll have to put the link up. You're just going to have to check it out and read it, okay? These guys, and what they did is they used about, they cheated a little bit. They went out and bought some stuff, $23, $24 worth of materials and a big garbage can. And they've got themselves a pretty cool AC unit, okay? Homegrown and at limited funds. So if any of you are sitting around sweating at home, you don't have an AC unit, this may be the deal right here. It'd be something kind of that you'd be able to put together relatively easy. And, but all you really need is a large fan, a garbage can, and about $20 worth of stuff from Home Depot. And, take you maybe an hour or two to put together and you'll have an awesome, awesome AC unit. All right. So I'll let you guys review the article. My good friend Chris Perillo, who is hosting GnomeDex next week, he is in the Seattle Times. Pretty good article in there, and I have to laugh. There's a section in here that says Chris talks fast and talks a lot. If you've ever listened to Chris, the man can talk nonstop, all right? He really can. And Chris goes a mile a minute. He's got 1,000 different ideas, and he's got 25 things cooking on how to make money and do business all at once at all times. And the article captures exactly how Chris is. And I look forward to meeting him for the first time next week. And I do thank you for some of the inputs. Some of you have sent in some inputs on who you want me to talk to at Gnomedex. Could use a few more, but I'm creating my own list and contacting a few people and say, hey, save me a 15-minute slot. And I hope to just overload you guys next week with all kinds of great material. I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to keep up with editing and putting stuff up. So make sure that you're checking the Geek News Central website feed on a regular basis, because I'm probably going to be firing out a lot of small mini shows. And it's all about going to be all about Gnomedex, and the people that are going to be there will be a lot of fun. Okay, Microsoft. Robert Scoble kind of linked up to this today, has got a RSS aggregator that is online, and it's over at kind of the Microsoft secret rollout site. Is a site called start.com, and they always prefix the directories with you know, very obtrusive directory names. But if you go over to start.com/MYW3B, they've got a pretty cool little aggregator over there. And, you know, it goes to show you that Microsoft can adapt relatively quickly. And apparently this was done by two designers at Microsoft. So there's a link on Robert's site that talks all about this. And then there's a whole bunch of, you can go over to the site, and they've got a few of the major weblog sites that are listed there. So go ahead and check that out. Of course, the link will be up in the show notes. Now, I think the most interesting article that came out yesterday was at news.com, CNET's news service, that talks about how Microsoft brought in some professional hackers and married them up with engineers, some of the very top engineers from Windows. And basically what kind of happened was is the engineers kind of got put in their place. They were able to take over machines at Redmond with relatively ease, and they showed them the tools that they were using and what they were facing by just ordinary hackers out on the internet, and how easy it was to acquire and take over a Windows machine. So it was humbling, I think it looks like, and I'm glad to see it. I hope all those engineers at Microsoft take that away and go back and redouble or triple or quadruple or quintuple their efforts to make Windows a more secure operating system. I did find, I tell you, Robert Scoble, he is great. If you guys aren't reading his site, you need to be reading it. He produces a lot of great links to sites, and I find a lot of great material over there. He linked to a site called The Map Room. It's a weblog about maps. And this thing has got links galore to all kinds of map services and just you name it. Everything about maps that you want to know that's on the internet, and old, new integration with APIs to map services, all kinds of stuff is on this website. So I'll get that link up, of course. Now, Dave Weiner over at Scripting News, at scripting.com, Dave has been talking about it for a while. He's working on a new outliner, and he's starting to open up the beta, and it looks like he's going to have this thing ready relatively soon. He's working out the bugs, but it looks to me like Dave is about ready to shake up the world again with a new cool tool. So I'm going to link the article that Dave kind of talks about. He's talking around the subject a little bit. I do know a couple of people that have are on the beta and are playing with it. And one of the email I got was just W-O-W and about 25 exclamation marks after it. So what I'm going to try to do is when Dave gives them the go-ahead, since I've got the connection with a couple of people that have been on the beta, I'm just going to pick their brains and see if we can get some good info for you on the show once it's released. But you'll definitely want to keep track of what's going on at scripting.com. And he's talking about this kind of on a daily basis, it looks like. Well, cell phones are finally being used as a test run in the United States to pay for they're basically in Coral Gables, Florida. They're paying for their parking meters with their cell phones using micropayments. So all these phones are actually all these meters are smart enough to accept payment from a cell phone. And, you know, the Japanese have been doing this for years. You can pay for almost anything with a cell phone. You know, all you have to do is like hold your cell phone up to there's just certain things you have to do to pay for it. And it's just put it on your cell phone bill. And they pay, get everything from candy to beers to you name it. They can get it on a paper on a cell phone. So that's what's going to be next, folks. That's going to be your new credit card. You're just going to go up and pay for stuff with your cell phone. Looks like Dell is really pinging hard to try to get to Apple to allow them to build some machines to run Mac OS X, or OS X, excuse me. I know some of you just cringed. But anyway, they are saying, hey, we want to do it, we want to do it. And it looks like they may have actually talked to Apple about it. So this is kind of an interesting development here. Now, if Apple does this, I think it would be a smart move myself. I really do. Open it up to OEM vendors. It'll be the first time in, what, years since Apple would allow that. Yahoo is testing a new search service, and it's currently in beta, and it allows users to search some subscription-only websites. It's called, it's dubbed Yahoo Search Subscriptions, of course, and the site will index 7 subscription sites, including the Wall Street Journal, Financial Times, Consumer Reports, and the New England Journal of Medicine. Now, I think I'd be hip on getting the Consumer Reports and maybe Financial Times. I don't read the journal, but I did, for some reason, I got a freebie subscription to Financial Times when they first started publishing, and a pretty good little newspaper. And also, if this would be the kicker right here, if they got LexisNexis, oh man, I'd be in there like Flint. So, you know, LexisNexis is one of those tools that typically only the professional journalists can get access to, and I don't know what an actual subscription costs to get on LexisNexis. I don't think it's that cheap. But that is definitely a place to find out all kinds of great information. It's a good research tool, too. Okay, for those of you that are vision impaired, there's continued to be more movement in the retinal area and where they're trying to use some sort of retinal probe, or not a probe, but a microchip with a small video camera that's integrated to a pair of glasses, and it's this wiring and however it is hooks up to the optic nerve directly, and it's giving people limited eyesight back. So, you know, I can foresee the day, and let's really hope that this happens. I could foresee the day down the road where no one will have to be blind, no one will have to be hearing impaired either. We'll be able to use technology to, you know, be able to allow people to regain sight and hearing. And there's been a lot of movement already in the hearing field, and there's a lot of people that, those that implant that they're putting in. So it's exciting. Exciting to see this happen. Okay, Engadget had a link up. Now, I'm sure many of you are familiar with Weblogs Incorporated. It's basically a consortium of approximately 80 different weblogs. They're doing, and in these weblogs are some of the best weblogs out there. But these guys basically are for-pay bloggers that they do nothing but talk about the subject that that they really love. And they put Engadget put an article up. Of course, Engadget's part of Weblogs Incorporated, but they put a link up to 10 of the different very popular weblogs from Weblogs Incorporated. So we'll put this link up, and it goes everything into auto and stuff for babies and cinema and scuba diving, you name it. They've got it here. So if you haven't checked out their armada, I guess, of armada of weblogs, it could be a great thing to check out. Okay, Logitech. How many of you guys have gotten used to your little scroll wheel on your mic, on your mouse? You know, how many of you remember there used to be a spin wheel or a scroll wheel on our mouses. We had to tap, 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 tap to get down in a page, right? Well, Logitech has done something cool. They have replaced the scroll bar with a little sensor where all you have to do is just rub your hand over the sensor and it will scroll the page up and down. I've got to get me one of these. It's the V500 by Logitech, okay? So I think I'm going to be going out to CompUSA tomorrow to pick a couple of things up. I need a couple of connectors, actually, that I haven't been able to find anywhere else. And I'm going to see if they've got these. And if they do, I'm going to have one in my bag, and we'll give it a try and see how it works out, and I'll let you know. Hopefully, they're in the stores here already. Microsoft is getting, check this out. This is going to kind of freak you out. Microsoft is building a BitTorrent alternative. Now, for those of you that are not familiar with BitTorrent, what BitTorrent is a peer-to-peer application, and it's one of the most popular file-sharing applications on the internet today. But apparently, they're building a P2P application, and I don't know. You know, Microsoft's going to build this. What are they going to do? They can put DRM in it, too. Is this going to be a peer-to-peer application that is going to have digital rights management built in? They're going to be calling it Avalanche. So it's being produced or actually coded in Cambridge, England. So we'll see here. We'll keep an eye here. I'm sure this is not going to come without some sort of major restrictions on how it can be used. You know, it's a great idea if they want to be able to move content quickly and offload servers for content that you're registered to download. And it might be a way to distribute video and media that you buy over the internet. We'll see. I know it's no fun to go out and try to download 3 gigs of data all by yourself from a solitary website. You click on it and you just say, okay, I'll come back in a couple of days and maybe it'll be done. And with BitTorrent, you can basically down, depends on how many people are seeding. I think when the 6 by South by Southwest, almost said 6 by 6, when South by Southwest in Austin went down, they did a, they released like this 3 gig or a gig and a half worth of music that you could share. And there was a lot of people that were seeding those files. And I think I downloaded all that music in about 5 hours, and it was like 750 songs or something like that. But you know, it's good for valid downloads, and of course there's a lot of people out there using it for you know, materials that they shouldn't be sharing. Okay, I've been playing around with a cool Skype add-on. It's called VSkype. It's Video Skype, and you can find this application at vskype.com. Download it, get your cameras hooked up to it, and play with it. Man, this thing is awesome. I was did a little video Skype with another person across on the other side of the United States, and it had good frame rate. It was cool, and we were able to talk at the same time. You know what? We're not going to need the phone company very much longer. We're going to need them to move data, but we're not going to need them for our phones. You know, it's going to just, you know, a little bit longer, and this thing's going to be fully integrated where we're going to be able to, and free! Isn't that beautiful? I don't think, you know, I got my phone bill this month. I did have, because I've been calling some people and doing some interviews, but, and vice versa, but I very rarely, when I'm here in the office, I very rarely make a regular phone call. It's usually on Skype, so video Skype, it just adds a new dimension, gets the old, you know, the video portion to it. Okay, something that I talked about in my website today that I am extremely concerned about, okay? The federal government is proposing that they are going to request that internet service providers basically log everything that you do. I don't know if that means capturing emails also, but sure sounds serious, okay? And to log all that information, store it, and keep it on file for a period of time beyond which they would normally keep log files. Okay, I'm sure some ISPs log some of their traffic, but you know, they really legally cannot go in and look at email. That's illegal. They just can't do that. You know, it goes against the Digital Millennium Copyright Act and DMCA. And if they do, they set themselves up for liability. So they're basically talking about letting or forcing ISPs to do this so that when they want to go after somebody, you know, they go with a search warrant. Not only do they get from this point forward, but they also get the stuff in the past. I am saying no. You know, this is wrong. If they are after someone, okay, they go to court, they get a search warrant or a wiretap, whatever it takes. Then they go to the ISP and say, "I want this particular person's data captured," and then they're going to have to do a little legwork to find out what else services those people have been using, or if they've been using more than one ISP. But I don't agree with the Big Brother doing this, okay? And I think it's they're talking about it, hasn't happened, so it's words for concern, and we'll keep you advised on what they do there, okay? Okay, for those of you using Firefox, hey, you're going to want to check out this Tech Republic article. It came out today. It's Boost the Browser Security Settings with this Guide to Firefox Options Window. Okay, you need to check this out. It's going to help you secure Firefox a little bit more. Even though you're using Firefox, you still need to be concerned about security and updating the program whenever they update the main release so that you keep even this browser secure. So here's a pretty good article, and it'll be in the show notes. All right. I guess the movie industry, you know, the RIAA and the MPAA, they're basically an impasse. When they try to go after someone now for sharing music or videos, whatever they may be sharing, they have to go get a court order on a case-by-case basis. All right? That's what they have to do now. Now, Warner Movies is threatening to withhold movies unless ISPs give up users' privacy information. And this is what they want to do. You know, there is a plan now, a movement to release movies online, okay? And with that comes some concerns about people, you know, being able to copy the movies and then sharing them. So they want the information in advance. Before they put the movies up online and allow people to buy them or subscribe or whatever it may be, they want that ability. But they want the ISPs to sell out. So keep your eye on your ISP's privacy policies, okay? And if you have a concern, you know, you read this article, get some information up, and then send an email to your ISP with a link saying, don't do this. Don't buy into this idea that the media companies can, you know, make these demands just to try to, you know, it's a financial thing. You know, their ISPs are trying to make some money. The media companies say, no, you're not going to make any money unless you give us the information of your users. I think it's wrong, okay? It's really, really wrong. Now, the Federal Trade Commission, on the other hand, is finally starting to step up and say to companies, you better protect the data that you have of individuals that you deal with, because inadequate data security can be an unfair business practice. The FTC fined last year Tower Records for a similar, basically for losing or not securing their customers' information. I think it's about time. They need to stand up and tell companies, hey, protect your people's data. Put the things and policies in place to make sure that, you know, with identity theft and everything else, we need to make sure that we start holding companies' feet to the fire. And, you know, it's a million people a week that are having their data exposed out there, all right? Okay, those of you that do use BitTorrent to share whatever you may share, be careful, because Direct Revenue, who is basically a slimeware, spyware company, has started to distribute basically programs and stuff that is basically adware, okay? And you may unknowingly download something, click on it, and install spyware. So keep an eye out on what you're downloading. You know, be careful out there. Now, on the good news front, the Patriot Act may get partially declawed. Looks like the House of Representatives today passed a measure curtailing the federal government's access to library and bookshop records by a pretty significant margin. Now, the Senate has to come in behind and do this too. So what it basically is going to do is it's going to make libraries and book sales off limits. So I put the link up here. This was actually on the Register, and this is good news. And hopefully they start hacking away at this Patriot Act a little bit. I'm all about security and protecting this nation. Don't get me wrong, okay? But I think the Patriot Act in some aspects went too far in some circumstances. I don't think we can ever go back completely to what we had before, but we'll see. We'll see. All right. On Carante, they have a article about how digital TV manufacturers are not putting in tuners in the TV. So they're relying on those of you that have DVRs, TiVos, etc. So you're actually getting these big LCD displays, which are cheaper and don't have to meet some of the Federal Trade Commission requirements. You get a TV that doesn't have a tuner in it. It's really not a TV. It's a big monitor. So using your DVR to feed that information is what manufacturers are relying on. It's kind of scary a little bit because you're completely cutting out your ability to collect analog data. So if the digital cable goes down or something catastrophic happens and, you know, they go back to using, something has to be distributed or broadcast over an analog network, a traditional network, those of you that have these digital TVs without tuners in them, you're going to be basically up a river without a paddle, all right? Okay, trying to keep this to about 45 minutes tonight. We're getting close, and I'm getting close to the end of the data, so I'm trying to stay on track here. Okay, some people are having problems with Microsoft Reader. You know, once you buy some data that is read in Microsoft Reader, you only get so many times activated before it says, oh, you've done it too many times, that locks you out. So if those of you that are using Microsoft Reader, this may be a article that you want to look at and check out. How many of you use notebooks at work? How many of you came into your office or back to your desk and found your notebook maybe ajar, or it looked like maybe someone had snooped around a little bit? I know that I have, and I make it a point to log off or lock my desktop whenever I leave for a period of time. I just don't want people snooping around. But you can go one step further, and there's a cool little lock that you can buy now. It's called an Elecom Notebook Lock, and it's about $60, and I think it's awesome. So I'll put the link up. That's from Gizmodo. I really appreciate it. Nick Bradbury over at FeedDemon did something amazing last two or three days. I guess he's on some medication for some problems he's had with some hearing loss, and the steroid makes him more overreactive, and it decreases the need for sleep and gives a great amount of energy. But he did like 7,000 lines of code in 3 days, completely redid the architecture of FeedDemon in part of their move for the acquisition that has happened there. And so he did all kinds of crazy stuff over this three-day period, didn't really sleep too much. Hilarious article. And I'm looking forward to see what he's done with the application. And I guess he's really done some improvements to the back end of the application. Okay, and science news. The House has passed NASA's budget. They gave him a little bit more money, $16.5 billion for the next fiscal year. It's good to know that they're going to be well-funded. Hopefully, that's well-funded. I don't know. I'm sure they can always use more money. Who can't use more money, right? And along with that, over there on the International Space Station, the Progress that was at the space station undocked and took about 1,000 pounds of trash and burned up in the atmosphere, I believe, yesterday. So that's good to see that they freed up that dock, and actually there's going to be another Progress supply ship that is going to be taking off this week to hook up with the International Space Station, bring in some fresh vegetables and some clean underwear, I'm sure. Okay, and finally, the space shuttle has been rolled back to the launch pad, so you know, I'm just going to give a little clap here and say, great, and we're one step closer to returning to space with a space shuttle. The launch window is between 13 and 31 July. I really look forward to us getting back in space with the space shuttle. I know that they've done a lot of work over there. All right, folks, 45 minutes. It's a miracle. This is the shortest show in about a month, right? And I may play some music for you, but in the meantime, I want to thank you for tuning in to the Geek News Central podcast. I really do appreciate you being with us, and we appreciate all the comments from everybody, and you know, you're a part of my big family here, so thanks for being with us, and enjoy your Father's Day. And as always, you can contact me at geek@geeknewscentral.com. Call the voicemail line at 619-342-7365. That reminds me, I've got to check. I've got one message on there that I didn't get downloaded today. Or you can Skype me at Geek News Central. Put video Skype on, and when I'm on high speed, maybe you'll catch me. You can give me a ring, and we can have a little chat. In the meantime, next time you'll be buying a cell phone, ask for Windows Mobile. Make sure that your next cell phone will have on its back a Windows Mobile logo. Cell phones powered by Windows Mobile from Microsoft offer many unique features not available for Palm OS or Symbian-based phones. And to get the latest news and a lot of resources about Windows Mobile phones, please visit www.msmobiles.com. Hey, we're 47 minutes. I still feel like a little music. If you guys want to blast on out of here for now, we'll see you on Tuesday. Regardless, I'm going to kick up a jam and get it queued up here for you right now. Okay, this is Seven Planet Sun. The Earth Stood Still. Enjoy.
Day, the earth stood still.
Day.
Aloha, folks. We'll see you on Tuesday. Bye-bye.